Now, once again, here's Mark.
Well, good morning, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, and for the next 2 hours, you're kind of stuck with me and three of my guests, and we're going to talk car questions, and there's nothing off-limits except anything personal. Like, we're not going to tell you if we go to bed at 8 or 9 or 10, stuff like that. But we've got Brad from S&S Tire. We've got Rob, his father, and then we've got Dan sitting next to me. So the three big dogs from S&S Tires are sitting in the room with me. And Rob, which one of you is the Snow White between you and Dan, and which one is the Jack the Ripper? So one of you does the chewing and the other does the hugging. Would that be correct?
Hold on, Mark. You just said at the opening of your show that we weren't going to go personal. Yeah, and all okay. the first question out of the box, you're going personal
he does,
on me.
Dan, he doesn't want to answer the question.
No, he's avoiding it.
Okay. I think in most businesses, and I ask you this in jest, is there somebody who's the one that chews, and there's somebody who the one who hugs. And in my world, my wife was always, if you got called into her office, it was a kumbaya and all that kind of stuff. But if you got in to call my office, then you were in trouble. So it was always the good guy, bad room. The kids called it the devil and Snow White, you know, stuff like that. But typically there's somebody who handles. Now, would you agree, Brad, that they're both refusing to answer this, so that they're not admitting who is? And it could be that we have two Jack the Rippers in the room.
Yeah, you should have asked me that question.
It's on your plate.
No, they're both real easygoing and fair to work with in all situations, feels like. Now, if somebody deserves a ripping, you know, mm-hmm. of course, they do handle that appropriately, mm-hmm. but
we sick
nothing.
Danny and my mom on them.
Oh, okay. Okay. Then we know. I'll get the answer one way or the other. And just, it just seems to me after, you know, 40 some odd years that's just kind of the way it is. Virtually every shop, Blackwell's a good example. I mean, he is the monster. He is the one but he surrounds himself with their huggers. You know, so if you did a great job, but it's not that he doesn't say you did a great job. It's just that's the way it is. But I want to talk about Thompson's before we go on to the show. Thompson's Auto Repair has been around in Mesa since 1970. Brian Vivian and his wife Thelma from the Thompson family, those two young kids, families started in the 1970s and early 60s or late 60s in Mesa in the gasoline sales and parts. So you're dealing with second generation, just like S&S Tire sitting here next to me, second and third generations with respect to family owned and operated. So if you're in Mesa, the only place I can recommend is Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing on Main Street, just east of Stapley. I'd like more shops in Mesa. It's just that it's difficult to find shops of the quality of Thompson's Auto Repair. So when it comes to business, how's it going?
It's had its ups and downs, obviously, I think, with everybody. We've been very fortunate because we were an essential business. Mm-hmm. We were allowed to remain open through the whole COVID situation. You know, we started off the year pretty strong, and then this all hit. March and April were slower than last March and April in 2019. Things came back in May, June, and July, and not sure what's happening in August, but our business is down slightly over last August. Nothing to be concerned about. You know, I think between school and folks trying to teach their kids the online learning aspect and all that kind of stuff, I think that has something to do with it. But we're looking for a strong end to 2020. Hopefully they can come up with a way to fix this virus, either with a vaccine or something similar.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I think there's a lot of families that they're working out of their house, moms and dads, and that creates the absence of need for gasoline, car repair. All of a sudden, the car sits there for quite a while. And so there's lots of that going on in our world. We've seen some violent up and downs, but now it kind of seems like it's stable. So we're not back to where we were last year, but we're doggone close. Dan, which store are you floating, or are you running one?
Brad does most of the floating for us, but I'm in a store usually every day, okay. But spend a lot of the time behind the scenes as well.
Okay, what part of the store do you watch the most? Where's the most attention you need? And I'll spot you this: the shop or the front counter.
we focus a lot on the front counter, you know, taking care of customers and making sure we're using the skills that that we, you know, train everybody to use. I mean, so we put a lot of emphasis on taking care of the customer
right there at the front counter.
Yes, sir.
And Rob, one of the things that we're working on is the questions at the front counter to the customer. My husband says that it has a bad tire. That's just tough to swallow. We're working off of somebody else's diagnosis, and so we're going to spend some time checking the tires. So then it becomes, we're training, tell us what it is. What is it? And then it's a vibration. Is it the steering wheel or the seat of your pants? So if you're looking at the wife that drives the car, the answers flow freely. And then it's kind of, can you duplicate it if I send somebody with you? And it's, oh, it'll do it all the time. Or, yes, I can make it happen. Or tell us how you make it happen.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that.
Oil leaks and air conditioning problems and all that kind of stuff. We had a lady come in the other day, and we said, air conditioning, yep, it doesn't work real well. When? Oh, at highway it blows ice cubes, and around the city it doesn't. So if it's going to blow ice cubes, it may not be a Freon level on the front side of this. It could be a heater core that we've flown. It could be anything, but it was a nice way to frame that.
Yeah, and I think we have to be detectives at the front counter, mm-hmm. ask the right questions. Sometimes asking a good qualifying question of a situation can save the shop and the vehicle owner, you know, hundreds of dollars, because it gets us to the area much faster by being able to get those questions answered.
It's kind of like if we say to they have a clunk, is it on takeoff or is it on a stop? That just helps us. It saves them a lot of money.
Yep.
Saves us time and a lot of money. So, Brad, what the heck do you do? I'm teasing you, of course.
I float around between the stores, and I'll fill in for people that are on vacations, people
COVID.
Who are out sick. Yeah, that seems to be a lot. And I mostly help on the front counter side, but I'll be seen changing tires or doing oil changes in the back every now and then too. You know, just depends on wherever I'm needed. I'm there for the team. So
he's a Slagle, and we've all learned this business from the ground up. So it's just as regular to see him behind the counter as it is, you know,
in the shop
helping the guys out.
So. I'll be known as the head janitor some days too, just cleaning up, cleaning bathrooms, taking trash out.
That all came from Dad. You know.
Yeah.
That's just how we were brought up. So
it's you circle everything. So you're part of parts, you're part of service, you're part of technicians, you're part of the estimates, you're part of the front counter. And if it has to be that you sit next to somebody in the lobby that's been a customer of yours forever, and you sit and talk to them and ask them about their grandkids and stuff, that's what you do.
That's a family business.
Yeah, truly. All right, let's take a caller. Who might we have, Gil?
We have Henry.
Henry, good morning.
All right. Good morning, Mark. As usual, I got the interesting and then the ridiculous. What is the best invention in automotive technology, aside from airbags and seatbelts, that you four guys think, you know, is the best?
Well, I need you to narrow it down. You've got safety devices in the two that you got. Are you talking about ride control, vehicle emissions? Are you talking about comfort? Give me, or are you talking about the whole car?
Let's go with safety.
Safety? I don't know.
Safety minus airbags and seatbelts?
Yeah.
I don't know. It doesn't leave a whole lot left. If he didn't put that qualifier in there, I was going to say fuel injection. Because I have some older cars that are carbureted. And you go out and start them up in the morning and they cough and spit. You got to run them for 5 minutes before they start running right. Mm-hmm. And then you jump in a car that's fuel injected. I mean, it purrs from the second you turn it on. So Henry, if you didn't put that qualifier in of safety, I'd say fuel injection is probably the biggest.
Okay, if it's not safety, you want to take safety or you want to take other?
Going the safety route, I would say Bluetooth might be up there
mm-hmm.
in some of these newer vehicles.
Yeah, for hands-free. Or how about automatic braking?
ABS is ABS
no,
does
ABS,
a lot.
Not ABS, Mark. Automatic braking. So collision avoidance, you know, that one.
Yeah, I don't think that's mainstream. We're a long way away from that being mainstream. A long way away from that. We're going to take the car
second
and have
question.
It stop for us?
Yeah.
Henry.
Second question. Yeah, go ahead, Mark.
it's obviously airbags and seatbelts are saving lives. ABS is saving lives, but collision avoidance is in its infancy. And right now, the sensors in the front, and I know I have firsthand knowledge of this. Right now, the sensors in the cars and a lot of other software and a lot of other things that are going on, that the car is incapable of making a decision about what's going on in front of you. So, but anyway, go to your second question.
Second question. Are you guys at the point in your careers where if somebody was to blindfold you and put a part in your hand, you could tell what it was just by feeling it?
Brad.
That's the young guy in the room, huh?
You're first.
I would say that would probably be 50-50 okay. For me.
Rob?
I'd say I'd have a 75% chance of figuring it out.
Let me see your fingernails.
They're not too dirty.
Let me see yours. Okay, let me see yours. Okay. All right, Dan, you're next to last.
I would say I'm probably in that range, 75%.
Okay. I think I got a little bit more, but it depends a whole lot on if it's a mainstream part. I can feel a throttle position sensor, and I can feel a mass airflow sensor, and you probably can too. But if you start going into a dome light receptacle for a Hyundai, then I'm not going to be able to pick up a dome light assembly on a Hyundai. But, yeah, mainstream stuff, the stuff that we do every day, rotors, brake pads, all that kind of stuff, we can pull that out.
Yeah.
So and actually, there's quite a few shops in town that I know of that do just exactly that.
<Uh-oh>.
I'm teasing. You just the honoriness in me. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. If you have a car question or car problem, if you have if you want to do a shop problem, you do it in a nice way. We don't name the shop, and you just give us the scenario, and we'll comment with respect to that. So we've got the three big dogs for S&S Tires who have three shops on the west and the northwest side of town. So you're welcome to join us anywhere you want. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Brad is the what do I call you? You're kind of the outfielder. You know what I mean? You play all the bases. You know, in baseball, you're a utility player.
Yeah, I
okay.
Agree.
And then we've got your dad and your uncle here who are floaters and front counter guys, and actually the ones that fly at 1,000 feet just to make sure everything underneath them is 10-4. So 602-508-0960. Well, welcome back, everybody. We've got Brad, Rob, and Dan all from S&S Tire. They've got shops in Surprise, Sun City, and Goodyear. Another good shop in town, I want to tell you for sure, is Automatic Transmission Exchange. He does transmission work that most of us don't do, and we oftentimes subcontract to this kind of a transmission shop. But they're at 40th Street in Washington, been around since 1968. Phil, who runs the store, he knew Fred Flintstone. So that's how long ago he was working on cars. And, of course, Fred only had one gear, and that had to do with his feet. So if you go into Automatic Transmissions Exchange, you can ask for Phil and ask him about his personal relationship with Fred Flintstone. All right, we're going to go to the callers because we've got a few. Vicki, ladies first. How can we help you?
Oh, thank you. I've got a 97 Cherokee, 285,000 miles on it, and the check engine light came on last week. So on my way to work, I stopped off at 25th Street Automotive. They pulled the code, and it says the catalytic converter. Is there any reason that I need to get that done before it's due for emissions in 2 years?
Yes. But I'm sure Billy told you that there's a lot of possibilities. This doesn't necessarily mean that the catalytic converter is bad because we've got all these sensors mm-hmm. that talk to the computer about it. So if a sensor's lying, the computer recognizes that as a problem. Did Billy go into depth with you about the discussion, or did he bid a cat?
Oh, the guy that pulled the it wasn't Billy or his master mechanic, but the guy that pulled the code mentioned that there were several things that would cause that. And because it was on a Friday, I wasn't going to leave the Jeep there.
Okay. Well, this is what I like to say, Vicki. The code is telling you what state the problem's in. You still got to find the city, the street, and the address. So it is real convenient for a lot of the auto parts stores with the three-whiskered kids to pull the code and tell you it needs all kinds of stuff. And if you need one coil, you need all the coil packs. And if you have one injector, well, you need them all. And then the car ends up coming to us, and we know that everything it isn't, because it's got new parts on it from one fender to the other. And so we look at the customer and say, how much, you know, we have $400 worth of parts in this. Yes. Well, at least we know what it isn't because the check engine light's still on. So there needs to be some in-depth, more diagnosis, but you're at a good shop. You're at a good shop. And yes, you'll need to have that because you're not going to pass with a check engine light that's operational or a check engine light that's in history. You'll not get through.
So I appreciate that. The only time that this Jeep has ever flunked emissions is the day that the check engine light bulb was bad.
Yeah, that'll do it because then no one sees it, but the computer tells the emission station that the check engine light is on, and they're saying Vicky drinks and drives and stuff like that. So it'll tell. Thank you for laughing. Thank you for laughing.
Okay.
All right. Tell Billy when you go to the shop that Mark Salem said that he had a 25% discount. A coupon he was going to send to you. Okay.
I've been going there long enough. He won't believe.
All right. Well, let's try it anyway, okay? All righty. Thank you very much. Bill, you're up next. How can we help you?
Yes, I just had my car on for an 80,000-mile routine maintenance. It's a 2010 Lexus ES350. And at that point, they said that possible leakage and also power steering, possible leakage.
So, you guys want to touch that?
I'll throw my two cents in, whatever it's worth. Maybe less, maybe it's worth a penny. I don't know. But, you know, so it's 10 years old, basically. And, you know, I don't know of any 10-year-old cars that aren't going to have some leakage. So as if it's dripping on the ground or getting your driveway dirty or your garage floor dirty, you might take a look at it. But if it's not, then I think it's something to watch. Am I on target there, Mark?
Or? Well, I like what you said. Is anything on the ground in the driveway or in the garage?
No.
Okay. Are you adding any fluids to the car?
No.
Okay. I'll tell you what I don't like about this. We had a car coming in, and it had a coolant leak. And it did have a coolant leak. The guy hadn't seen anything on the floor, but the upper clamp was loose. Pressurize it. Cap's 14. Put 15 in it. Tighten the clamp. Goodbye. This was sold as a radiator, and while we're there, let's do all the hoses and the heater hoses and all the bypasses hoses. And I'm disgusted by that. And then we have other people that come in with a rear main seal, but you ask them the two questions. Are you adding oil? Is anything on your driveway? Then you say, how do you know nothing's on your driveway? And they say, you should see my driveway. It's pretty. Nothing leaks. Ask my wife. So I'm a little bothered by that. Usually when the engine starts... I'm going to use a nice word, starts passing oil. It's high mileage, but yours is only 10 years old, so I don't know how many miles it's got on it.
80,000.
Okay, well, that's three times around the equator, and we've got cars just like you guys got, the 300,000 and 400,000 miles, and you're talking about 400,000 miles, that's four times, that's 16 times around the girth of the earth. We lose sight of that. So, I don't know. I think, is this a shop that you normally patronize?
Yes, this is the Lexus dealership.
Okay. Perhaps have your next oil change done by somebody else.
And could you recommend somebody?
Tell me what geographical area you're in.
44th Street in Camel and Bell Road.
44th? Oh, well, I would just go to Kurtz Auto at Bell and the I-17, or I would go to Action Auto at the I-17 and Deer Valley. Both of those guys are honest. Both of those guys are dependable. And I would simply say to them, I don't think you want to say anything. You just say, you know, the other day I parked at a spot, and when I backed up there was a little drip of something. Could you look and see if it was mine? It's a fib. It's a lie. Call it what you want. But it's a nice way to put them on that. So if they come back and say the underside of your car is as dry as a bone, that's kind of what you want to hear. So,
okay, thank you.
All right, good luck to you. Dan, you're up next. Dan, how can we help you?
Yeah, I need some opinion. I have 10-year-old tires on a sports car I have, and they only have like 5,000 miles on it. I don't really want to go out and get new ones because they stay in the garage all the time, and they're in great shape.
Okay, we're going to vote on this. Brad, you're first. Oh, wait, he comes into your shop with 10-year-old tires. Go ahead. Start from there.
I wouldn't risk it. How precious is this sports car to you?
Well, I understand your point of view, but the tires, yeah, that you're in the garage, they only have like 5,000 miles on it. and the industry seems to be pushing everybody to buy tires.
It's a tough one. It's a tough one because you don't put many miles on the car, too.
I drive the car once a week just to keep it running. You know,
yeah,
to
if
get
you're
it
not
going
to leave town with it and you're just going to drive, you know, don't even get on the freeway with it.
Well, I do take it on the freeway once in a while because it needs to get a good exercise at 85 miles an hour.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, if one of those tires decides to let loose, your car is probably damaged severely. So you need to be a little careful about that.
Yeah, I don't we haven't even talked about what kind of car it is yet, but
it's just a sports car, a Miata. It's like 30 years old.
Yeah. I mean,
great. That's a great sports car.
Yeah, it's a cool car. I was a big Mazda fan growing up, but for what a set of tires is going to cost you, you know, $300-400.
Yeah, I know about 400. You're about right there. Yeah.
Okay, we're going to continue this conversation on the other side of the break because I have some pretty strong feelings about this. And I've seen people die with tires less than yours. I've seen families die with tires less than yours. I wouldn't let my kids go with you on I-17. I wouldn't let my dog ride in the back of your car. I wouldn't do any of that. And I can tell you when people come in with 10-year-old tires, they're warned in huge letters on their work orders. And I have experience with this kind of failure far more than anybody else that I know of because I work for insurance companies and law enforcement people. And this is a huge problem. As a matter of fact, other tire stores won't let customers leave with a 10-year-old tire, and that's an important consideration. Hector, please stay there because we're going to get to you. This is S&S Tire and Mark Salem, and we'll be back in about 4 minutes. So, welcome back, everybody. 34 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, and I think I've got everything set here. And so we were talking, well, first of all, let me tell you about another good shop in the entire world, and that's Kurt's Auto Repair. We talked about him. He's at I-17 in Bell, northeast corner, been around since 1987. Kurt's a master tech, and he has other technicians that are ASC certified master techs. And I tell the story again and again about somebody said that they needed an engine from three different shops. They sent him to Kurt's. He put an oil pressure switch in it. He charged him $80, and the car was fine. So that's the kind of guys that all of my shops have at their front counters, is guys that have your interest in front of their own. So if you need a good shop and you're anywhere near I-17 in Bell, may I suggest you try Kurtz for an oil change and see what you think. Okay, we're talking about 10-year-old tires. This is, even within our industry, this is a big deal. And everybody has a different idea, but I'm going to speak for my shop. You can leave with a 10-year-old tire. You're going to sign your name. You're going to know that we told you that. And I probably have north of 20 cases in my local history about those kinds of tires. So the people go in and they have their tire aired up. They leave. Sometime later that tire blows up. It's 12 years old. The shop should have known. The problem with the shop should have known is the DOT sometimes on the inside of the tire. How are you going to do that? How are you going to do that if they come in for a tune-up? Do you guys check the tires on a tune-up or an air conditioning service?
No, not necessarily.
But that's what's happening. That's exactly what's happening, is they're attacking the person. Think about the big tire change. You guys are a big tire change, but just think about the big dogs. So 10 years old, it's not even a whatever it is. From the legal point of view, it's 10 years. And it doesn't make any difference if they're who was it? Dan, he said he doesn't drive over 50. That, none of that makes any difference. It doesn't make any difference at all. The tire's not designed to do that. So from a safety point of view, folks, and when the tire reaches 10 years old, if you're going to drive that car, or especially if your wife and your kids are going to drive that car, I would suggest that you go get some tires. And you know what we're doing? On 10-year-old tires we pull off, we have a 1-inch hole saw, and we drill a hole in the sidewall so that tire will never see the road again. And so we figure that's the least we can do to minimize the risk of somebody else. Hector, you're up. How can we help you?
Good morning. Yes, I have an 01 Nissan Sentra. And now if I leave it in when I first start the car, if I leave it in park for about 5-10 seconds, it'll take off just fine. But if I put it in the drive or reverse right away, it kind of putters like it wants to stall. But if I give it a little gas sometimes, it'll go ahead and get started and go. But it happens almost every morning when I try to start the car with no check engine light either.
Okay. I want you to try this. I want you to cycle the key on without starting the car. Just turn the key to the on position that lights up the dash and count to three and turn it off and do that a couple of times, okay?
Oh, okay.
And what we're doing is priming the fuel system. So you have an electric pump in the tank, and so you're just turning it on. The computer, if it doesn't see the start motor start, it turns off the pump. So if you say, Mark, cycle it, one, two, three, off, one, two, three, off, and it starts, bingo, bingo, then it sounds like you've lost fuel pressure. The question is, do you have any black smoke by chance? Out of the
no,
pipe?
I do.
Okay.
No black.
I'll tell you what I'd do if you were my best friend. Of course, if you were my brother, who I don't like today, I would tell you something different. But I wouldn't do anything with this. I'd wait till it got worse and easier to find. I don't see a benefit of going in and trying to find this that only happens every other morning if you don't wait and count to 10. And I can't tell you if it's going to break down and cause you to be stranded because I don't know what it is. But,
okay.
My advice is wait till it gets worse, easier to find. It'll cost you less diagnostic money and it could go away in the wintertime. And if it does, that even makes it worse to diagnose. But then again, we're right around the corner from winter, so I'd try that.
Okay. All right. I'll give that a shot. Thank you much.
You betcha. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Tell you about another good shop that's on the other side of the world, and that's Blackwell Automotive. Tom wouldn't know a tire if it ran him over, but he is a good guy, and he's a friend of mine, and he knows cars, and he does old cars, and that's something that we're starting to see a lot of. So no matter what kind of car you have, he can do engine swaps. He can rebuild them, domestic and import vehicles, been around a very long time, and he's at 40th and Greenway. So if you like a shop and you don't have one, Blackwell kind of covers the entire northeast portion of Scottsdale, and I don't have anybody else up there, but that has a lot to do with how long they've been in business, and we have certain rules. So Blackwell Automotive, 40th and Greenway. And we have a caller. Who might that be, Gil? Oh, that was it? Then don't play the air gun again. Okay? Did you hear the air gun in the background? I thought I did. He has an air gun sound, and he hits that in our headphones. It says,
I
Mark.
Thought there was somebody working out in your shop out back.
You know? Gil, we heard it, whether you're admitting it or not. So anyway, 602-508-0960. S&S Tire is here with us. Brad, Rob, Dan. They've got stores in Surprise, Sun City, and Goodyear. And they come from, they're the second and third generation that actually is involved in S&S's. When we come back, we're going to talk about your dad and your mother. And they have, I think, they were partners in business very much like Renee and I are. And of course we're in the second generation. We don't have yet a third. So when we come back, we're going to talk about the history of S&S Tire. And it's very interesting because it has to do with tires. Your father was in on the ground floor with tires and warranties and quality and design, all that kind of stuff. So, and again, it's called S&S Tire. So 602-508-0960. Welcome back, everybody. 44 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. We've got Brad, Rob, and Dan from S&S Tire. Rob and Dan are the second generation, and then we've got Brad, who's the third generation. And like many other people in our industry, we have the multi-generations running the shop and doing a good job. Anyway, let me tell you real quick about Larry Harker's Auto, 38th Avenue and Indian School, been around since 1967. Bob runs the shop, Ellen runs the front counter, and they do really good work. And again, they're one of the shops I sent cars to, and they fix something that I couldn't or others couldn't. And I'm not too proud to tell you there's times where I need a fresh pair of eyes, and there are times people use me, and sometimes I use them. So Larry Harker's Auto, 38th Avenue and Indian School, been around a long time, since 1967. Let's go to Steve. Steve, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Mark. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
So, I have a 2019 Camry, and it was rear-ended a few months back. So after I took it to a body shop to get it repaired, there were some issues with the repair. And I just took it back in not so long ago to address the issues.
Okay.
And one of them had to do with the rear doors not lining up. And along with the paint not necessarily matching, and there was an issue with the paint. Like, it, trying to think if it was an overspray, but anyhow, I got the car back. They kept it a week this second time around, and they kind of lined up the doors, but they stick out now. So you could see one of the doors on the rear passenger side just stick out more than the other one.
Okay.
And I noticed that my rear tire, the wheel sticks out more.
Okay. All right. And, hold on a minute.
Yeah.
I agree that those issues need to be addressed, but I want to know who paid for the repair.
My insurance company.
Okay. You don't need to. You don't need to fight this battle. All you got to do is call your insurance company and tell them you're really unhappy. I think I'm going to be 90% of the time I'm right to say that they sent you to that shop.
Actually, no.
Okay.
That's
right.
Where the problem lies. I'm not an expert. I don't get in accidents every day. This is probably my second one in the 20-plus years that I've been driving. So because I didn't choose the shop they wanted me to go to, because I chose these people, I'm kind of on my own. I got to go fight it with them because they supposedly gave me a lifetime warranty.
Okay, well, I don't like your insurance company because they wrote the check to the shop. They represent you. This is just highway robbery to get you to use one of their shops. And this is something that's... that, in my opinion, just separates the men from the boys in the insurance company. I don't want to hear the name of your insurance company, but you only have two choices. Either you insist that they get involved because they paid the bill and they were the customer, or you go in and get somebody else to write down an estimate to correct all of that, and then you go back to the first shop. But I can't lead the charge for you. I can't get your car fixed, but the two ways that I've just given you. And if you're not happy with the insurance response, then the easiest way is the next time go bid it somewhere else. But this is something that the insurance companies are doing because they're wanting to send everybody to their, quote, best buddies. And that's not always in the best interest of the customer. So it's kind of tough to take a Camry to somebody who just deals in American cars. And the insurance company does to people that, just like you've been had, somebody's done to you. The quality control is perceived as good, but it's not. And then there's a problem, and then the insurance company drags their feet about getting involved because then they throw the shop under the bus. So you would have been better off to go with the insurance company for that reason, because now they have a kind of a twist. They referred the shop, and they also paid the shop. But if I were you, I'd just take it to a couple of other shops, have them write an estimate for the repair, and then go back and get ready to fight the battle. Good luck, Hector. I'm sorry that it was Steve. I'm sorry that you had your wreck, but you're going to be working on this for the next couple of months for sure. Ed, good morning. Hi, Ed.
Yes.
Go ahead, sir.
I've got a 2006 Dodge Caravan, and that. I recently bought it. It's got a little bit of a vibration, and I've been trying to chase it. So I've been switching around wheels and putting them in different places. But it seems like in the last month, I've broken off about four studs on the lug nuts. And I know I'm not cross-threading them going in, but trying to take them off, they just seize up, and then I have to bust it off to get the wheel off. I'm wondering what causes that.
Go.
Well, sometimes over-tightening can do that. What are you torquing these things to?
I'm not using a wrench. I'm just kind of feeling it out.
It's an elbow pop, I call it. Just get them, get on the wrench and stuff like that. If the nuts, I'm gonna save Brad. If the nut screws on with your fingers and you tighten it up and then you have to back it off with your wrench all the way, this is yours. This is yours. Because that's what our technicians do, right? If they do that, then we know it came off with their fingers, and then it went back on. The next guy to do the tire rotation has to air chisel or hammer all the studs off of. But you really shouldn't be using any thread, like oil or anything. But it's how many have you taken off? How many tires and wheels have you taken off?
Probably 12, I'd say.
Okay, and so 12 nuts you've taken off of studs?
Yes.
Okay, and are you using a manual way to put the nut on, or have you got an air gun or an electric gun?
I've got a small, you know, handheld air gun. It's not the big half-inch drive. It's a Makita. And I crank it. I don't crank them down. I tighten them up with that, and then I hand-tighten them with a lug wrench.
Okay. Well, let me turn this question around, you guys. This is the story that you got at the front counter, and he's a customer of yours. So, Brad? It's a tough one.
Yeah, it is a tough one. I mean, you could buy a torque wrench for pretty inexpensive these days. That's where I would kind of lean towards, you know, because somebody's strength versus somebody else's could be completely different, and might think you're just snugging them up, but really you're over tightening them.
Yeah, and you're twisting up the threads and stuff. Yeah. If it was a one-time customer, I probably would guide them. If it's one of my regulars and I could knock those out in a little while, I'd probably do that. If it was an 80-year-old grandmother and her grandson did it, I'd probably bail him out like you guys. You know, you might just bail him out.
I think also that, you know, if the lug, assuming the lug studs are the original equipment, the threads on the lug nut side can get stretched, you might consider just buying new lug nuts, especially if the ones you're using are the OE. With the cover. So, you might consider just, you know, replacing all the lug nuts all at one time, and, you know, getting the wheel studs back up to snuff and, kind of starting from scratch. In my opinion, I think that could be beneficial.
You've got four lug nuts on each wheel, right?
Five.
Okay. So you got 20 of them. How many of them are stripped?
Well, I've replaced the studs. It just seems like it happens almost every time I take a wheel, one will take off a wheel.
Okay. It has everything to do, it's not going to bind if it wasn't over tightened. You guys do tires every day of your life. So you know when it comes in, if the technician had his gun on the wrong number, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's.
And I personally, I'll put a dab of anti-seize on my wheel studs, especially if it's aftermarket. We've seen a lot of cross-threading with, you know, aftermarket replacement lug nuts. You know, they're made in Asia someplace. I'm not going to say exactly where. So sometimes they're not perfect either. So a dab of anti-seize. I know Mark says not to put anything on, but.
But I'm sorry. I'm going to correct myself. I'm not going to put WD-40 or any 30 weight oil on them. The anti-seize makes perfect sense because it eliminates the ability of the metal to grow to its mate. And that's what it's for, is just so that you can go in and go out.
Yeah.
So I agree with you.
And those comes in a tub, and we just have a little brush. We just put a little dab on each. You might try that. I bet your problem will go away.
Okay. So yeah. Anti-seize, you can also buy in a little tube. So one little 2 or 3 ounce tube would probably handle a whole bunch of studs for you. But I would think that you'd probably put them in by hand. And do you have a wrench with just a L, or do you have a four-sided wrench?
I've been using a four-sided.
Okay. I think I'd just kind of be careful. But like Brad said, torque wrenches are pretty cheap at O'Reilly's. So that might be. Well, and I think your torque specs is going to be in your owner's manual.
Yeah, so. I have a torque wrench. I could use it. It's just funny because this is the only car it's ever happened to me on, except I had another Caravan a few years back, and this happened a few times on that one. So.
Yeah. Do you guys see a pattern failure with Caravans or any Chrysler products or anything?
No, but if the wheels and tires come off and on a lot, you know, I think the car, he said it was a 2006?
Yeah.
14 years old. Yeah. You know, the studs do wear out over time. They can stretch. Yeah. And, you know, somebody could have stretched them, put them on too tight 8 years ago, and you're dealing with the problem now. You know, it just took this long to surface.
You're right. Let's go back to the vibration. Quickly tell us the vibration. Seat of your pants, steering wheel, where?
Well, I've kind of chased it to the seat from the front. I switched them, and they went to the back. So I've decided the tires, and I've kind of pointed out.
All right. So was it a rhythm that increased with speed?
Yeah, but it becomes noticeable at about 70, and then 75, it's a lot more noticeable.
Is that down Camelback?
Well, I go to up north a lot. It's just, it's not too bad. It's just the vibrations irritate me.
Okay, I'm going to be at the front counter, you guys. I got my car, and when I'm on higher speeds, I've got a vibration that I've identified in the back. Comment.
Start with the balance.
Okay.
Go with the balance. And.
But what other possibilities are on the menu? I mean, what other comments? If I just had them balanced.
Oh, it's front-wheel drive, so you don't have the drive line to worry about.
What other kind of tire defects cause the vibration
flat
that he
spots.
Described? And eggs,
yeah.
Tread separations?
Tread separations as well, yeah.
And that's why I asked him, because he said from start to finish, and at 70 it's bad, and he moved it from the front to the back. So I think all of us would agree that you should go have the tires checked. How long does it take for you guys to put a dial indicator or put it on the rack and spin the tire and see a separation? It
can happen pretty quickly.
Yeah.
It's a pretty quick diagnosis.
And so if you have a shop that you're dealing with and that you love, and that's something that they're very likely to take care of for you, but there's a lot of us that would put you up on the rack and look at your tires for free as long as it wasn't Monday morning or Friday afternoon.
And vibrations are the hardest and that I've dealt with. I mean, that there's so many things moving at that van, on that van at 70 miles an hour, that, you know, we start with the tires. If it's not the tires or the tires are new, then all of a sudden it transitions to a fairly quick diagnosis to a lengthy one, because there's just so many things turning at 70 miles an hour that you have to try to cross off your list.
Drums, rotors,
bearings.
Wheels, bearings, all that kind of stuff.
So let's hope it's the tires, and that's
yeah.
an easy thing
well,
to fix.
All righty.
It's funny, one more comment. There's a little excess wear on the outside of the front tires, and so I took it to get it aligned, and they did some alignment. It didn't take care of the, I guess it drove a little better, but it didn't take care of any vibrations. I put new struts on it on the front, and they had a 6-month warranty, so I took it back to get it checked, and they realigned it because they said it was out of alignment now because they put the struts on it. But I didn't know that they went out of alignment that badly with changing out front struts. Is that true?
Oh,
that's
no.
where the alignment adjustment
yeah.
is.
Yeah, when you took those two bolts off the bottom of the struts, you just took the alignment away from that thing. And when you disconnected the top going through the fender, the inner fender, yeah, you messed with everything. So, yeah. And when you have outer wear, did you take those outer wear tires and put them on the back, or did the backs come forward? Where did those tires with the outside edge wear come from? And I'm going to have to take a break, so you're going to have to answer that on the back. John, please, and Lou, please stay in there, because we're going to get to you, I promise. But Ed, when we get back, we're going to talk about real quick about those kinds of issues. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Mark Salomon, S&S Tire, here at your service.
Now, once again, here's Mark.
Well, welcome back, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. If you'd like to join us, that's the phone number that you should call. With me is Brad, Rob, and Dan, and they are the upper echelon and the big dogs for S&S Tire. And they've been around a long time. As we talked about, your dad started when?
76.
1976.
He's in the business much sooner than that, but that's when we opened S&S.
Okay, and so Rob and Dan have assumed it from, and your mother's still alive,
yep.
but your father's passed, so you two guys are handling. So now we've got Brad, and why don't you just kind of look away from him and give me a grade real quick. A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
Overall grade, you know, he's my son.
Okay.
So what, I mean, he's full of tattoos. He doesn't do drugs.
Mm-hmm.
I think he deserves a lot of credit for what he's done. I will tell you, and you probably know, or your son will mm-hmm. tell you, and your daughter, that being the second generation or the third generation is very difficult, because we have a father and son relationship, and then at work it's boss and subordinate relationship. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of hard to draw that line sometimes. I had that trouble with my father when he was alive and running the company, but again, I don't think anybody would argue from anybody in our company. Brad does a great job. He has the do what it takes attitude, never says no. He's there all the time.
Makes the decision. That's what bothers me the most, is the kids have got past that. Just make a decision. Don't come to me, poop on my desk, and tell me you haven't fixed it. Just make a decision, and I'll let you know if I agree with it or not, but just make a decision. Let's go back to where we promised. Ed, on your vibration, have you had it aligned after you put the struts on it?
Yes, I took it back, and they redid the alignment.
Okay, and how does it steer and run now?
Nice.
Okay.
Great.
Where are the tires with the outside edge wear?
They're on the back now.
Okay. You know that they're not going to fix themselves, though, right?
Right, yeah.
Okay. Well, I think you've done a great job. It's been kind of a circle kind of thing, but if you're happy and we're not wearing the tires and the car isn't pulling left or right, then I think you're done fine, right?
Yeah, I think it's all right. Eventually, I'll get new tires and it'll all be fine.
Yeah. Do you have any other questions?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, good luck to you. Thank you, Ed. Thank you very much. John, you're up next.
Hey, Mark. Thanks for taking my call. I have a similar problem as a previous caller. It's a 2004 Toyota Camry, and it runs great heading down I-17. Then after about 10 or 15 minutes, when I start going up a hill, I start getting some vibration in the front left corner. I've had all the tires rebalanced. I've had them rotated. And I can drive the car for about 10, 15 minutes, no issue. And then again, it starts to give me vibration in the front left-hand corner. Any insight? I have some thoughts, but I wanted to hear what the team had to share.
Okay. Let me ask you one question. If you're going up the hill and you're throttling up, and I'm going to give you from 75 to 100% throttle, you have the vibration. What happens when you back off the throttle?
It vibration backs off.
Okay. All right, so it's related to the load.
Sounds like it's a mechanical. I mean, I think you can rule out tires at this point.
I'm agreeing with you 100%. Okay, hey, Brad?
Driveline?
I think Camry front axle.
Yeah.
I think front axle. I think his symptoms match that perfectly. It only does it when he's loading that front axle, and when he backs off the throttle, it changes. And so we unload that axle. So if you're going to do the – how many miles are on your Camry?
210,000.
And have you done axles on it yet?
I have not.
Okay.
I'm afraid to make an investment because I don't think the book value is very high on it.
Well, what's the alternative, to buy another car?
Yeah, I think it's about ready. It's 16 years old. I bought it with 50,000 miles on it. So I've got 160,000 of my own.
Okay. Well, unless you overheat it.
Coming off on it. Pardon
okay.
me, sir?
Unless you overheat it or run low on oil, that thing's a 300,000, 400,000-mile motor. And if you had to put a couple of axles in it, which I would suggest that you do, that really, if you amortize that out over the next 6 or 8 months, you're talking about $50 a month. So yeah, I'm not trying to talk you into it or not. I'm just saying this isn't a tough repair. I'd do both axles if I were you. I wouldn't do boots because obviously one of the joints on that driver's side axles is bad. So I think just, you know, go to your shop and ask them to bid two complete axles for your 04 Camry and see what it is. I just think, don't be afraid that the car's going to give up the ghost, because every car we put a motor in has been overheated or run low on oil. Very few of them just die a natural death, and if they do, they're usually north of 400,000 miles. So,
wow. So you think I have another 90,000 easy if I just replace the axles?
Well, if you put $500 worth of axles in it, you're going to let me amortize it over 9 or 10,000 miles. I'm talking pennies. Well, I'm talking pennies per hundreds of miles. I'm not going to do the math real quick. But if you were my best friend, I would tell you to put axles in it. And even if you were my worst friend and you asked me, I'd still tell you to put axles in it. But if you're itching for a new car, or you're itching to give that to your daughter who just turned 16 and get yourself something else, then those are your decisions you can make. But I'm 90% sure the left front axle on that's bad.
Okay? Okay. And you'd do both. You wouldn't do just one.
No, I'd do both. You're going to have to align it anyway. So why do one and then align it and then the other and then align it? And
But then go ahead, Mark.
No, finish up. Go ahead.
I was going to say, then, sir, they're going to say, I have the original struts in there, and they're going to say, hey, while you're there, you might as well get the struts done as well.
You're right, but if you don't have any tire wear that indicates the struts and you don't want to do the struts, I can tell you this much. Most people say to them, you put struts on your car. Yes, I did. Did you notice the difference? Yes, I did. Was the difference worth it? No. I hear that all the time.
But
if they're leaking oil severely, then yes, the answer is yes. But it's your mileage. You're probably going to improve the ride, and you're probably going to like the car a lot better if you do struts, but that's going to be a big bill. Okay?
Right. All right. Thank you, Mark.
All right. You bet. Lou, you're up next.
Hi, Mark. I have a 2006 Hyundai Sonata with 250,000 miles. I get the check engine light that comes on and off, on and off. I had it checked. They plugged it in and said cylinder one is misfiring. So I put a new spark plug in, a new coil in, a new injector in, and I still get the light that comes on and off. And if I drive in the city, it'll come on and off. If I drive in the highways, she'll go off by itself.
Okay. Well, we know all the parts that you put in. It's not that, don't we?
Yeah.
It's a bad idea to do what you did. You already know. How much money have you got tied up in that so far?
Oh, no, not much. Not much.
200?
Maybe about.
Okay. All right. This could be a vacuum leak on that one cylinder. It could be a bad boot because you have coil over ignition, I think, on that. Do you have a distributor with wires, or do you have the coil attaches to the top of the spark plug? Which one do you have?
It's the coil that attaches to the top of the spark plug.
Okay. Well, there's a boot in the bottom of that, and sometimes people don't change that. So I think this is an easy one to find, or you can wait till it gets worse, or wait till you have to go through emissions. But obviously, of all the stuff you've done, it's not been done right. Now, when you took the coil off, did you see that little piece of hose on the bottom of the coil?
Yeah.
Okay, that's the boot. So maybe you should do this. Why don't you pull the boot off number one? Because you said that's where the code's coming from, yes?
Yes.
So pull number one and number four coils. Swap the boot.
I did that. Same thing still happened.
So you swapped the boot too? You took the coil and the boot? Okay.
I took the coil and the boot out and put it into the other. I switched one and four.
Okay. Well, there's a lot of things that could cause it. I gave you vacuum leak could be one, but I don't know. Somebody's going to have to go in there and figure it out. This, on a 1 to 10 scale, this might be a 5 or 6. It's not a $1,000 kind of diagnosis. But the question really is it spark or fuel? Do we have an injector problem intermittent? And if not, you need to swap injectors around. Or do we have a spark or a fuel? And those are going to do it. It's not likely we have a valve problem, because if we had a valve problem, you'd be backfiring through the intake or through the exhaust, and you haven't said anything about that. So I can't diagnose it for you over the. Do you have a shop that you like?
Yeah, I took it to my shop. A really nice guy, the Midas shop on the west side, and he checked. He can't find it either. He just has no idea what it is, and it doesn't stay on history. So when the light went off and I had the car, brought it to get inspected, it went through. It didn't have it on history.
Okay. Well, none of that is part of the diagnostic process. We don't care about the history or when it went away or anything like that. But with all due respect to the shop that you've picked, you've picked a horse doctor to look at an ear problem on your cat. So I think you stick with the guys that do that for a living. And it's tough because here... business gets slow, and then all of a sudden we have the horse doctor telling everybody he can fix their rabbit or their cat or their dog, and in reality he's best worked on horses. So that's my 2 cents worth. Anyway, Lou, thank you very much. Gary, you're up next.
Hello, Mark, a long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you.
I have a 2015 Jeep Grand Cherokee. The malfunction indicator light started coming on, and the symptoms were it kind of hesitated as it was shifting. And before I could get it to the shop, it even downshifted from D to S. So I took it to a shop, and I won't name them on the air, but it's one of your recommended ones. And so they did some work on it, and it started doing the same thing within 2 weeks. So I took it back to them. and they made some more repairs, and now it's still doing it. And I, to use one of your analogies, I'm up to $622, and I think they might be guessing with my money.
And you know what? I don't care if it's one of my shops or not. I'm going to agree with you. That's what it looks like. I think you're best served by going someplace else and having them diagnose it and then looking them in the eye and say, hey, I've already paid for some guesses. I'm not going to hold you to the performance of the shop before, but I want to make sure that you can take care of this. Once you get it fixed, then you go back to the first shop and say, this is what fixed it. Could we sit down and talk about this? I think that's what I like my customers to do. So you need a fresh pair of eyes. Even if it's one of my shops, you need a fresh pair of eyes. What part of town do you live in? Gary? Okay. Gary, if you'll email me at mark@marksalem.com, mark@marksalem.com, and tell me what geographical area you live, or you can go to marksalem.com and look at my best shops, see if maybe some other shop can help you out. You guys have experienced that as well.
Yeah, we all make mistakes. I think the difference that we between men and boys is how you step up and fix your mistakes. So that's, you know.
I agree with you.
Fix it.
I agree with you. Everybody does that. We do that as well. I'm going to tell you our latest fiasco. A customer who used to work for us, he's a retired policeman, and he used to be our shuttle bus driver, he brought in his virtually brand new Honda Ridgeway truck and for an oil change. And he's allowed to walk around the shop and talk to everybody because he knows everybody and he knows the protocol. So we do an oil change on his car and we give it back to him. And he calls us, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes later and says, something happened to my truck. We tow it in, and the motor's seized up. The cams are seized up. All the cam belts are blown off of it. And we pull the dipstick, and someone forgot to add oil. I can tell you that the Honda Ridgeline will go 16 miles if it doesn't have a drop of oil in it. It happens. It's happened to you.
Sure.
So we look at the security cameras, and this guy's a 32-year veteran. I'm not mad at him. We were busy. And we pulled him off the car to ask him to go out front to look at a car, and he just lost track of where he was at. And so it's kind of my fault, kind of our fault as well, but he's not panned for the motor.
Probably the guy's fault who was walking around the shop talking to everybody.
I'll let you tell him. I'll have him call you. But the end of result is we all make mistakes, and like you said, big boys, take care of them. And the other guys point fingers at somebody else. 602-508-0960. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. 22 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. We've got Brad, Rob, and Dan, and these guys are the ones that run S&S Tire. They have a surprise location, a Sun City location, a Goodyear location. They've got the west side kind of covered up. They do tires, but they also do all kinds of maintenance on your car, and they'll let you know when it's something that they're not good at. And most of the time, they have the ability, like the rest of us, to guide you to somebody who's a little better at replacing your windshield than they would otherwise be. So we all have those kinds of relationships. When it comes to diesels, then Strictly Diesel is a great place. He's up on Pinnacle Peak Road and I-17. I know Nate, and I've known him for a long time, and I know he's very good. So if you've got a diesel that other people are guessing on, or if you've got a diesel that no one else can find the problem, I'd like you to consider calling Nate at Strictly Diesel Service and Repair. Chevy, Ford, Dodge, everything foreign and domestic light diesel trucks. So Nate's a good guy. If you'd like to call him, then tell him Mark sent you, but there's no bird dog fee, so I'm not going to make any money on it. But I do have a coupon there for the next person that calls him. Elizabeth, thanks for calling. How are you?
I'm just fine. Thank you, Mark. I'm an 83-year-old grandma, and I just want to know if you know somebody here. I have an 2003 Mercury Marquis that my son got me. It's in beautiful shape. I have 30,000 miles on it. There's somebody in Scottsdale that I can trust just to take and have it looked at every now and then. Somebody that I can really trust.
Okay. I can help you. What part of Scottsdale? North, central, or south?
Well, I'm in the south Scottsdale area. But
okay. I want you... Oh, boy. The name is on the tip. The name's on the tip. Oh, Bell Auto Service. I'm sorry.
How do you say it again?
Bell, B-E-L-L, Auto Service.
B-E-L-L, okay.
And it's at 87th Street in McDowell, which is almost close to Pima, where Pima
yeah.
would be.
Yeah.
And you're going to talk to Vicky, okay?
Okay, Vicky.
And Vicky and Craig are the husband and wife that run it. I promise you they'll take good care of you. And I would suggest that you go in for an oil change once or twice a year and ask them what they suggest. And during the oil change process, I am quite sure that Vicky will tell Greg that she's the boss and she wants a thorough, thorough inspection during an oil change time. And that's really when it should come. So
beautiful.
Vicky
oh,
is a wonderful person. And I promise you, she'll take care of you.
Thank you so much.
Okay,
Thank you so much. You've made my day. I just happened to tune you in. I listen to the station all the time, but obviously not at this hour ever, because I've never heard you there before. I've heard of you. But thank God for you, Mark. Thank you so much.
All right. And Elizabeth, thank you for all the nice things you say, but you have my permission to just pass that on to somebody else. So if I did a good deed for you, you just pass it on. Is that okay?
I definitely will do that. Okay. In this day and age, we need it.
All
righty. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Steve, you're up next.
Yoo-hoo!
This is someone that knows me, I can tell you right now. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, I never thought about this question until the show today, but I'm wondering, at what point do you replace the studs or the nuts on your wheel? And the reason that I think about it is because I replace them I rotate every 5,000 miles.
Okay. I'm going to change your question, okay? I'm going to change your question. All right. Dan, how often do you change your studs and nuts?
Not often.
All right. What does that mean? Can you go 100,000?
Yeah, absolutely. If you're having an issue, then, you know, you might consider, if you break one or... if you break one on a wheel that has five, you might consider replacing, one or two of the others. But, I mean, it's a metal on metal surface and doesn't need to be replaced just because, you know.
There's no wear
or miles or.
Okay, Brad, how many cars? Okay, hold on, Brad. How many cars come in an annual basis that you end up replacing all the lug nuts and studs?
Zero.
All right, I get one every once in a while where the drunk driver curbs the right side.
Oh, no.
And, you know, damages the wheels and the tires and all that kind of stuff. It's just the friends I have, okay? It's just the friends I have. And I'm making that up. But Steve, that's the question. It's a better ask Brad, who runs or who floats within three stores. And I'll tell you, Salem, it's the same thing. I don't remember the last time. It's got to be 4, 5, 6 years, and typically it's driver-induced. Would you agree?
Yes.
So the answer to your question, Steve, is I think the consensus of the four of us here, and let's do this. How many years experience?
20.
Okay, so that's 60. How many you got?
40.
Okay, that's 100. How many you got?
I'll go with 30.
Okay, thanks for making it easier for me to add up. So you got 130 years of automotive experience here, and would it be fair to say that that's not anywhere on our radar of changing studs, and even for our wives or our daughters? Go.
I've never seen it on a preventative maintenance schedule, replace the studs.
It's never been in the owner's manual. But, Steve, if you want to, any one of us are happy to change all your studs and nuts, and I think they start at $100 a piece.
Yeah.
I'm trying to chase you away from
50.
I'm trying to chase you away from this idea. Are you getting that? So, yeah, okay. don't do that. Okay?
All right, thanks.
All right, you're welcome. Eric, I can't do you justice, so stay right there, please. You'll be our first caller, and we're probably maybe 4 or 5 minutes away, so you got time to go ask your wife. You can run the question by her first, and I'm kidding you, of course. We've got Brad here and Rob from and Dan from S&S Tires. They've got three locations on the west side, Surprise, Sun City, and Goodyear. They've been a part of our best car repair shops for many, many years, and I'm proud to tell you that I don't remember the last time I had a call that was concerned about work that they had there. And I'll tell you why that is, and that's because they're going to catch it long before it gets to me, if there is one. So if you're on the west side of town, Surprise, Sun City, or Goodyear, and you don't have a shop already, then this is what I tell everybody, including my shop and everybody else's. Go in for an oil change and see how you're treated. Go in for an oil change and see if they write a long, this isn't going to happen, but a long laundry list of things that you need. It happens other places, but it doesn't happen at the shops that I refer people to. So again, S&S Tire, Surprise, Sun City, and Goodyear, good place to start if you live in those geographical areas. Plus, you're dealing with three generations of the young man, including the dad, the sons, and then, of course, the grandson. So my name is Mark Salem, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Just like we promised, we are going straight to Eric. Eric, thank you for waiting through the break. How can I help you, or how can we help you?
You almost lost me after I asked my wife.
Oh. Well, you know what? Is it her car? Just put it on the phone.
No, it's not.
Okay.
Do you want the symptoms or how I got to the current symptoms?
No, first I want the symptoms.
Blowing bubbles out the radiator.
Okay.
Won't start.
Okay. Does it?
2015 Nissan pickup, 2.4 or 5 liter engine.
Okay. And was there an overheat that prefaced all of this?
Yes.
Okay. And was it your wife's fault or your fault?
There was a, no, a kid that I sold, lent the truck to.
Okay. Okay. Here's what, this is
the water heat, the water pump went out.
Okay.
Through the fan belt and apparently overheated.
Okay. This is an easy diagnosis, to be honest with you. We're going to fill up the cooling system with water, and we're going to put a pressure tester on it, and we're going to, if the cap says it's a 15-pound cap, we're going to pump it up to 15 pounds. We're going to see the needle drop rapidly. We're going to pull the spark plugs out of it. We're going to tap the key, and one of the spark plug holes is going to shoot water two bays away from the car.
Right.
And if you really want to be kind of ornery, then you'll have your youngest tech say, bend down there and tell me which cylinder is going to spit water. It's kind of an initiation thing. But the answer to your question is and if it won't crank over because it's hydrolocked, which means it's full of water
Correct.
In the piston, then, yeah, the head's got to come off on that.
Okay. My main question on that is I've heard from mechanics that because it's all aluminum, the block might be bad too. What are the odds of that?
Anybody want to comment when the last time you replaced a block on an overheat with an aluminum motor? Dan, ever?
We don't do a ton of that kind of work, but, yeah, it's not something that you would see very often, for sure.
We've never seen it. I mean,
okay.
Let me offer you this. If you get the water out of the motor and you leave the radiator cap on the first click and not the second click, can you drive it around the block, you think?
No, it won't start.
Okay.
He put a new water pump in it, and then it was blowing bubbles and wouldn't start and dripping radiator fluid out the exhaust.
Okay.
So pretty consistent with a blown head gasket, likely warped head.
All that's going to be done. The head comes off, and they're going to look at all the valves to make sure they're not bent. They're going to look at the top of the pistons, and the one that's going to be the cleanest is the one where the water came in because it kind of steam cleans the piston in the combustion chamber. And so they're going to take it and put it on a mill and flatten it out, and they're going to know that it's 8,000ths warped or 20,000ths warped. They're going to put a head gasket in it. They're probably going to take it apart and put new valve guide seals in it. You'll get all the parts that come with what they call the head kit. The technician will put a straight edge across the top of the motor and make sure, but I can't tell you I don't know that we've ever seen an engine block, unless, of course, it was an overheat, and we take the top of the head off and the entire engine's melted. You know,
of course.
I mean, the pistons are, but no, in your particular case, I think all you need to do is take the head off, resurface it, put a new head gasket on it. And I would get all the water out of it. I'd still start it and see if it idled good. That would mean we haven't bent any rods or anything. So get the water out of it, get the water out of the cylinder, start it up, boom, it hums like crazy, everything's fine, bingo, then the head comes off. So, okay. I'd probably want to hear it run before I pull the head. Okay?
All right.
Okay. Good luck to you. You betcha. Do you guys do head gaskets a lot, or
not a lot? No.
A good customer will take care of. if someone walked in that it was a first-time customer, we'd probably recommend another shop.
Okay. And let me clarify that so that people don't misunderstand that. We have an allegiance to customers that have been doing business with us for 10, 15, 20, 30 years. We put our software in place in 1991. We still have 2- and 3- and 4-digit customer numbers. So we even print that on the work order so the technician understands that we're not messing with somebody who was born yesterday. They've been a customer of ours. That's what you're talking about.
Right.
But a brand new customer coming in that has something, we don't know the maintenance history. We don't know who they are. There's a certain risk associated with that. But I like the end of how you wrap that together is we'll refer them to somebody that we would send our sister to, or someone we send our neighbor who's a good guy and we like him, as opposed to our neighbor who's a jerk. And we'd send him to a different. I said it, not you. Anyway, 602-508-0960 if you have a car question. We've got about 20 minutes left in the show, so it'll be good and probably likely that we'll get to your question. 602-508-0960. Again, S&S Tire, Surprise, Sun City, and Goodyear. So if you live in those three communities, they do everything except heavy line. Is that would be fair? So 70% of all the reasons the cars come in, you got maybe even higher. 80% of all the reasons cars need repair or service, you guys handle. It's the motors, it's the big and we don't do transmissions either. We do head gaskets and stuff.
And it's not that we're not capable, it's just that we choose not to tie up a bay for that long. And
that's a great explanation. It's not that we aren't capable, it's just a matter of you're asking a golfer to play badminton. I mean, we can still play badminton, but we're not going to be really good at that. So that's either one of you, any of you guys golfers?
I golf once in a while.
Do you? They're all pointing at you, so I'm assuming that you can whip both of them.
I think that's pretty safe to
okay,
say.
Okay, alrighty.
He's good.
Is he?
He's okay. Good.
My golfing is pretty much limited to Topgolf.
Topgolf?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's where you have a beer and a TV behind you, and you don't have to walk, 3 miles to.
Or you play in one of those big net areas.
Yeah.
You know, where everybody's looking at you. And so if you fall off the edge and you tumble to the grandstands below, then everybody knows you have no business there. 602-508-0960. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. 44 minutes after the hour, 11 o'clock. Rob and Dan, who are the two descendants. What was your father's name?
Bob.
Bob. Bob Slagle. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to give his resume real quick. He was a tire guy for one of the manufacturers.
Yes, pretty much. But he worked in retail with one of the manufacturers. So just to paint that picture. At one time, Uniroyal owned their own retail stores. It was their own brand. So he ran a retail store for them in California.
Okay.
Moved here to run a retail store in Phoenix. That's how we moved here in the early 70s.
And then he left the store and opened his own.
His own.
Yes.
S&S. Yeah.
And I tell people, from golf cart to the biggest tractor tires.
That's true.
Warehouse, because
sure, yeah.
I've seen it, and I was amazed in the variety of tires. Model A tires, those rubber band tires, but accessible if you don't have them in inventory.
Absolutely.
So big trucks, motorhomes, all that kind of stuff. So are you really good with respect to weight on motorhomes, and you got a 10,000-pound axle, so you better have 2 5,000-pound tires?
That's critical.
Oh,
and looking at the door, at the sticker, it's not on the door. It's somewhere by the driver's area, but it's critical. You know, do you have 16-ply tires on it? You better replace with 16-ply tires if it came with it. So that's a catastrophe waiting to happen if you don't be careful with that.
A lawsuit waiting to happen. Yeah. We saw not too long ago a motorhome that had a 12,000-pound axle and had 8,000 pounds of tires underneath the 12. And as you can imagine, the other thing that I know with tires is that there are two different numbers. The inflation on the sticker of the car or on the door tag of the car, which is the number that tire has to be at in order to carry its load that's written on the side of the tire. But then that's 32, but then we have a maximum inflation on the tire. So what do you use?
We use the door sticker because that tire will fit, I don't know, 50 different cars with the 50 different specifications. So we always use the door sticker. That's the best.
Okay. What we do is we use the max on the tire, and I'll tell you why. A fully inflated tire will pop through a pothole and handle it better than a tire that's not fully inflated. You get better fuel economy. The risk you run is wear in the center slightly more than the outer part of the tire. But if you kiss curbs a lot, you're more likely to bounce off the curb.
More air.
and with more air.
Yeah, I agree.
And the tires run cooler. From a point of view for tires, we sell lots of tires, not as much as you guys in any way, shape, or form. But I'm buying temperature guns from Harbor Freight by the hundreds. And everybody that buys a set of tires, we teach them how to take the temperature of their tires. So the crown, where the tread meets the sidewall. So the other day, I'm taking a bunch of cowboys up north. We're hauling a bunch of traders. We get clear out. We're heading towards Payson. And we start to fall off the first mountain. And I get out, and the right side tires are 50 degrees hotter than the left side tires, and we have four horses in the trailer. So I'm thinking about where's the butts of the horses on the passenger side? So now there's a trick here. It's in the morning. We're heading to Payson. We go out the beeline. Any idea?
Sunshine.
Bingo.
Yeah.
And I didn't get it, but one of the other guys got it. He goes, well, the sun's been on that side of the trailer the whole way. So we run our trailer tires at maximum all the time. But the glue supposedly comes apart in the 200 and north area. So you don't want to get in that area. But I consecutively run somewhere between 110 and 145, depending on the ambient temperature and depending on where the sun is at. So we just find better fuel economy, bouncing through potholes a little better or cracks in the road a little bit better. Plus, it'll handle a curb hit a little bit better than a tire that's less inflated. The most of the time, it'll run a little cooler, but the temperature guns for RVs, they work for upper and lower radiator hoses. They work for a diesel, which cylinder's misfiring. You can gun the exhaust manifold, and so you know it's cylinder 3 or 4 that's got the misfire. People can actually cook steaks. They can fly cut their steaks, and they gun the inside of the steak, and there's a chart on the internet that tells you what rare, medium, rare. All this crazy stuff you can gun the inside of your refrigerator to determine what it should be at and what it's at now. Gun a bottle of beer or whatever, and you can get that temperature. So people really love the idea that this $8 or $9 temperature gun comes with a set of tires. And if you teach them how to use it. But the first time we hauled horses, we were on our way to Tucson. We're going to go east on 10. And Renee, here's the real deal, okay? Don't tell anybody this. What does your wife do when you pull off the road and fill up with fuel? They're not listening. Go ahead.
Bathroom
Mine
break.
Is.
Okay. What? I know. Is she just kind of hang out in the car? They do. So my wife's and your wife and nobody's wife's going to go out there with a big air gauge and try to start checking air pressure while you're filling up the car.
No, that's a safe bet.
Right. But if you train your wife to do it, my wife walks around and guns all the tires.
Okay.
So she feels like she participates. She helps me a lot. I'm filling up and washing the windshield and all that kind of stuff. But she just walks around. Now I've got her checking the hubs. Because if you got a wheel bearing that's hot or if you got something going wrong, you'll get it on the hub.
I have one question. How does Renee put up with you?
46 years, buddy. We are as different
as... She's a saint. I met her. She's a great gal.
I've known you, and I can't
see the connection there.
I'm telling you. You'd be different than everybody else.
We're friends, though, right? I'm not going to get you mad by saying that.
No, heck no. I tell everybody, I'm Jack the Ripper, she's Snow White. If you get into her office, you're going to get a hug. You get into my office, you're getting your butt chewed. That's the way it's always been, the kids and everything. So, like I said, we've been married 46 years, and she hasn't hired a divorce attorney yet. And besides, I've given every divorce attorney I've ever met a dollar. That means that she can't hire them. Okay. Did you know that? But as a dollar for retainer.
I see. Okay.
And so I'm just hedging my bet. Hey, Mark, good morning. How can we help you?
Hey, yes. Hey, tire guys. I got a tire guys issue.
Sure.
Perfect.
I'm glad you're there.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I actually visited a tire shop, and he's a good guy. He's looking at the dot codes, and he caught that one. It was a 2013 code.
Okay.
So it's not 10 years old, but it's old. I think 5 years is kind of like the limit for most of us. So they're recommending, yeah, it's time to get tires. Well, every time I go through the same thing, I ask the tire guys, what are those universal codes on the side of the tire? And they always say, oh, that stuff's not important. you tire guys think that it's a good shopping technique to look at those three tire codes, especially the wear number?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, the UTQG codes.
Tread wear,
there's three
temperature.
Of them. There's two letters and letters and a,
what's
and a
the
number.
Other one?
I always want
tread
that
wear temperature and traction.
Traction, yeah.
So I'm just looking at the tread wear thinking that's a really good indicator. And so what do you guys think? Most of us customers don't do that, I can tell by asking the tire shops.
So that's used as a guide. I don't think I'd use it as my Bible as to choosing a tire. But what's hard is I think I was told by manufacturers that they the codes that they use to, or I should say the grades that they use to put on a certain tire is used to compare the rest of their line. To take that grade and go across another brand sometimes doesn't always work, but I think it would factor into my decision making to look at those grades and try to choose one tire over another.
Yeah, especially like you said, the same brand, that Korean brand. What is that called?
There's a Hankook and there's a Kumho.
Hankook, yeah. Hankook. So one of their tires is like a 400 for tread wear, and one of theirs is like a 700. So that's what you mean. You can tell the better tires got that.
Basically, with simple math, the 400 tire or the 700 tire will last twice as long as the 400, or almost twice as long.
Under perfect conditions.
Right.
We need to add that in.
Your gas mileage would be better, too, with a higher wear tire, no?
No.
Not sure it would affect gas mileage so much.
I think inflation and load is the one that's going to get you on the gas mileage. But you know, Consumer Reports, when they do tires, they do them across the board. They're using the three. But let's go back to do it. The first number is tread wear. And the tread wear is a number that represents, under normal circumstances and not abnormal, it's how many, the number, the higher the number, the better the tire, the longer the life.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
The next one is
traction,
and that's obviously a snow tire has one, A, B, C, D.
There's also a double A now too.
Okay, and then so you traction or highway tire, and then temperature. That's the one in Arizona I think we want is an A most of the time.
Most of the higher speed rated tires are going to have higher temperature, better temperature ratings.
Yeah, so
an A.
We all watch that. I won't let you use the word, but there's some lot of rag tires out there. Lots of rag tires. And you can look at the three numbers on the side of the sidewall, and you can see that they're very proud of them, but the name of the tire is written in hieroglyphics next to the bead with a pencil, you know. So, I think that's a good idea. And I obviously, you're going to have a price difference depending on the quality, but for the temperature, I'd stick with an A, and I wouldn't do a B or C.
Yeah, so if you're looking at a $70 or $100 tire, and one of them's got a 700 tread wear, and the other one's got a 400 or 500 tread wear, then that would be a safe choice to go for the higher number.
Yeah, Mark, this is Dan. I would say that, you know, that tread wear is it's there for you to use mainly, and yeah, the higher the tread wear, the longer the lasting. We had a situation looking back, you know, many years ago where somebody in the valley was selling the same brand of tire that we were selling, and you know, they were putting an in-store mileage warranty on it of 70,000 miles, where the manufacturer warranted it for, you know, 45,000. So they there's no rule against doing that, other than being able to sleep at night. So it's there for you to use as a guide. It's a tool. It's not live and die by the tread wear.
And here's the deal. You know, if I sell you a tire for $700 and I give it to you for a 10-year warranty, so that divided by the time the tire fails at 7 years, there's not enough credit on that tire to mean anything.
Right.
So when you do the math, but I think two things. Get the best numbers and letters you can, but I would also deal with the tire that is a mainline tire. And tell me real quick, what tires do you sell, Brad?
We could get pretty much anything, but a lot of what we stock are going to be Hankook, Falcon, Nexen, Michelin, BF Goodrich,
Carlisle
for the trailer tires.
Okay. Yeah. And the trailer tires have a speed limit on most of the time. They're not, you're not allowed to do 80 miles an hour with the trailer tire. And it's an ST, right? Standard trailer tire?
It's, yeah, ST is usually designates what a trailer tire would be. And then the max speed is sometimes a little harder to find on a trailer tire. You might have to find that on the internet by looking up the company.
Yeah.
But most trailer tires, max speed is like 60 or 65.
I can
get some that are up to 75 or so. I know a lot of Carlisles are.
Yeah. Let me show you where the best part of that is. When you come back from Saguaro Lake, there's grooves in the highway from the Saguaro Lake entrance ramp all the way to the casino. And those guys are hauling butt down 87. They blow a tire. They don't even know it. They got the steel wheel on the ground throwing sparks, and they don't even know it. Every time you drive north and south on 87, you look at the road from the casino northbound, and it's just unmarked. And when you come back southbound, there is grooves overall. And you can see, if you follow the grooves long enough, you'll see them pull off the side of the road. So you know. But I see people traveling with trailers, but I put P metrics on my small trailers, and I put LTs on my big trailers so that I can extend the mileage range. But standard
speed
tires.
Speed range.
All righty. Well, listen, thank you guys for showing up. And
it was fun, Mark.
And you're welcome to come back anytime you want. And you're welcome to bring your wives, and we can turn this into a Dr. Phil show if you want.
It's a borderline Dr. Phil now, I think, with you at the controls.
Well, thank you. I hope that's a nice thing. But if it isn't, I'm going to turn off the mic in a minute. And as a matter of fact, I'll just turn you off right now. Anyway, thanks for spending your Saturday with me. And for the rest of you, Mark at MarkSalem.com. You can find the best car repair shops. S&S Tire is certainly one of them. Surprise, Sun City, and Goodyear. They're guys I know. They're guys I respect. And I've known them for a long time, but I've known their father when he was around and he was alive and he was well-respected. And that respect is transferred to the boys. We'll see you next week.